The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems. And the views expressed by the guests and hosts on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. Our guest today is Elaine Togneri. She has quite achieved success in three major areas. As an author, she has over 40 published short stories and has published in fiction and poetry. She's been the now president here in Pasco, and she's also in the Florida Now organization. I believe she was treasurer there, and she's been a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. So we have quite a few things to talk about with her today. The first question I usually ask is, what's the history of you as a Democrat? When did you become a Democrat, and why?
Okay, I grew up in a family that was not political. I only remember one conversation about voting for president at one point. We are four children, two are Democrats now, and two are Republicans. I became a Democrat. I really didn't think about it very much. Living in New Jersey, it just seemed the way to go. But when I joined Now, and I found out that majority of our issues were supported by Democrats and not by Republicans, then that made me a lifelong Democrat.
Okay, good. Now, why don't we turn our attention then to what are these issues? I know that there's many that overlap between what Democrats believe and what the Now organization believes, but let's identify some of those issues and what you think about them. For example, the power structure for women in society.
Our society is a patriarchy. We've been fighting against that for many, many years. We've had a number of advances, but there's still a lot of work to do. You can tell by what just happened in Texas that men think they have the ability to control women's bodies by passing a law that actually has people spy on women and report on them like a mob mentality if they have an abortion. So it's, just no bodily autonomy for women. Mm-hmm. Looking at that type of issue. And I believe in trusting women, that women are going to make the right decision for themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to make it, like a snap judgment. An abortion is something that you really think about and make a lot of decisions about what you want to do with your life and how you can care for a child before you bring one into the world.
Right. And the whole situation in Afghanistan now has brought much of that to the fore, right? Just given...
women not being allowed to leave the house without a male chaperone. Come on. I wouldn't last 5 minutes there. I'd be shot dead.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't stay in the house that long. And to have to wear a garment that covers everything, including, like a little net over your eyes so that you can't. Although I don't think they're doing that now. They're making them just wear the hijab.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Let's look at overall health issues in terms of America and so forth. What do you think of the overall health issues?
I think there's a lot of things that could be better in overall health. Certainly the pandemic, we need other people to get in there and get their shots so that we can have a normal life again.
Mm-hmm.
But, the fact that Florida has never passed the Medicaid expansion, the fact that people can go bankrupt just because they get sick. Mm-hmm. These are things that not be happening. We're supposed to be providing for the general welfare, and this is not promoting that, that's for sure.
And it's amazing to me, having been down here since 1994, you know, I think we try to take care of ourselves, regular doctor appointments and that sort of thing. But I know that there are many people out there who are not really insured and certainly not insured the way they should be. And it's, you know, what do you think in terms of universal health care?
I would like to see the Medicare for All. But people have to realize that Medicare for All doesn't cover everything. It's only 80%. So what do we do with that other 20%? Mm-hmm. There's still got to be insurance companies that would handle that, or some other method of coverage so that we could, you know, people that don't have a lot of money who couldn't afford insurance can still get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, how about safety issues? I know this is something I think that the NOW group feels strongly about, right? It's one of the three.
Yes. Domestic violence and sexual assault are horrific and pretty bad here in Pasco. There's a Violence Against Women Act, which comes up for renewal in the federal government every 2 years or so, and yeah, each time we try to expand it, we're trying to expand it to give Native women mm-hmm. more coverage and to help stop the boyfriend loophole, which is, you know, they don't consider a boyfriend a vital, you know, that they can be a domestic violence situation too, and right, be able to take the guns away from them. Only married people can you take the guns when they're turning out to be an offender. So, you know, we're just trying to do these things. It doesn't look good with the way the Republicans are filibustering everything. Right. So,
now you mentioned,
my doubt.
You mentioned here in Pasco. I don't think that many people are aware of what these problems are. How significant are they here in Pasco from what you know?
Pretty significant. We have many, many repeat offenders of domestic violence, mm-hmm. and they're only getting a slap on the wrist. It's a misdemeanor. They're not being charged appropriately. That's why I'm hoping that we can get Allison Miller elected as state attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Because she spoke to us at the NOW group this weekend, and we talked about this a lot. And the prosecutor is actually the one who makes the charges against the offenders.
Right.
And we're not seeing, you know, the proper charges being done here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's also talk about education in terms of Pasco, in terms of perhaps the nation. What are your thoughts about what are the issues in education, do you think, at this point?
Well, the big issue right now is not allowing masks because of the COVID thing, but also the defunding of education is one of my big worries.
Mm-hmm.
They are creating all these charter schools. They're not subject to the same rules as public schools.
Right.
So, and they can have uncertified teachers. I mean, and we're paying for it with our taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
It just is very disturbing. It's like there's trying a movement to destroy public education.
And that's why one of the questions that always comes to my mind is, you know, as a retired teacher, is what is it that these people are looking towards if they want to defund public education and bring in charter schools to such a high level? What is the goal of these people?
Because they can teach what they want, which means they don't have to teach any of the bad stuff that happened in America. And there was a lot of bad stuff right from the start of our history,
mm-hmm.
coming in, taking over other people's land, paying them beads, you know.
The treatment of Native Americans.
Yeah. The treatment there, bringing slaves over, you know, stealing having people stolen from their families and brought over, and then when they were used as slaves, separating their families, whipping people. I mean, it was horrific. Yeah. You know, not to say there aren't some good stuff about America. I mean, welcoming immigrants, that's always been a very positive for us. I'm hoping that we will get back to that.
But sometimes
you know, we need to know our full truth.
Yeah.
And most of the people that came to beginning were thrown out of their countries because of their beliefs.
Yeah. It's almost like what some of the people want to have happen is a sanitized version of our history. But I don't think they go any further and say, what does that really mean for the future of our peoples here in the United States, as well as around the world where this sort of thing is happening? I mean, I don't think they think about what a society would be like if you do only a sanitized version of things.
Well, the other thing is they want to push religion, but only the Christian religion. I mean, these people would be up in arms if there was Sharia law being taught in the schools. Mm-hmm. But they want to pretend that we were a Christian nation. And that's not how it started. The forefathers weren't Christian. For a lot of them, they were deists, where they believed in nature as the god.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just people that don't know the history and haven't explored it, and they want to teach just one side of it. They want to pretend that, you know, the Bible was almost written here in America, okay, which is not the case.
Now, in terms of then economic prosperity here in Pasco as well as in the nation, what are your thoughts on the issues there?
I really think women are being underpaid here in Pasco and throughout the nation. There is something called the Paycheck Fairness Act, which is in the Congress right now, but we can't get it through the Senate. And it would allow women to know what the salaries are of other people,
mm-hmm,
that they're working with, their coworkers.
Right.
And that would allow them to know if they're being underpaid. Right now, you know, the way salaries work is whatever you made before, they give you a little bit more, right, when you go to a new job.
Yeah.
Well, it should be what is that job worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened to me. I was underpaid. I was a computer operator. They brought a trainee in, and I was training this person. He didn't know you weren't supposed to say your salary, and he told me what he was making,
really?
And he was making more money than I was.
You,
so I went in and complained, and, you know, they had to give me a raise, but, you know, that's one of the reasons I joined now, because this kind of stuff is crazy.
Sure, sure, I certainly agree with that. What do you think should be done here in terms of Pasco, in terms of, you know, we obviously have a lot of homeless people. We have a lot of, I think, issues in Pasco. What do you think ought to be done in terms of making things better for most everybody? What could we do?
I would love to see the tiny houses, mm-hmm, put together, or maybe taking over an abandoned hotel or motel or something so that we could house people. Because if you can get an address, that solves a lot of your problems with trying to get employed. And, you know, it's just going to get worse because the money for rent relief has not been paid out on a timely basis. So a whole bunch of people are going to get evicted. I'm just afraid we're going to start seeing, you know, all this furniture and people on the streets of, mm-hmm, our towns all over here.
And you get, when you drive by, we drive up and down 19, you see all these very large buildings that are unoccupied. You would think it wouldn't be that difficult to turn them into, even if it's temporary housing for people. Okay, another big issue, of course, today is voting. Where do you stand on that?
I think everybody should have the ability to vote. I know they want to do restrictions here, and I don't like having to every 2 years put in that I want to vote by mail ballot,
mm-hmm,
but that's what's going to be, and that really hurts the supervisor of elections because they have to process all these requests. They don't, you know, they're not given extra staff or anything, but it's, you know, it's just crazy what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think that homeless people should be allowed to vote. I mean, I know they can register, they can register at a homeless address, you know, if they can give an address of, like, one of the shelters, or we don't have shelters, but one of the groups that handles homelessness.
Right.
They can give their address and use that. But, you know, how do you get your ballot? You know, your sample ballot? How do you get your voting card? I mean, these are issues that need to be worked out.
Right.
And I don't believe in, you know, cutting down the amount of time people have to vote. I would really like to see more expanded voting. You know, they tried overnight voting in Texas. They tried voting in your car because of the pandemic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are interesting things that could open up and get us more turned out than we've ever had before.
Well, I'm planning on doing a podcast with Brian Corley pretty soon, so I'm hoping that he'll be able to elucidate a lot of those issues. All right, let's turn our attention for now to the NOW movement. You mentioned earlier why you became part of NOW, but you've had a position locally, you've had a position in the Florida NOW, so tell us a little bit about your experience in NOW and why it's important.
Well, I always felt like I was a person first, not a man or a woman. I guess it's because of all the reading I did as a kid. I would put myself in the place of the character in the book. And, you know, one of my favorite books was Kon-Tiki, where they took this raft and went across the water to prove whether Easter Island could have been inhabited by
Thor Heyerdahl.
And that was all done by guys. And I was right there on that trip with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was into all the girly stuff, dolls and that kind of thing. But when I went to work and stuff, I just thought that I could do anything because I was a person.
Mm-hmm.
And now I got treated as a woman. And that wasn't very fair. And when I joined NOW, I became aware of a lot more issues like gay and lesbian rights and things like that. And I just couldn't understand why two people that were in love couldn't get married.
Mm-hmm.
So way back in the 70s, I was in favor of same-sex marriage. I was in favor of all of these really great things. And it's only now come to pass that some of these things have happened.
Right. So
one of the things about what has NOW has been able to accomplish in our state, I just want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We were able to cancel the tax on period products.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to raise the statute of limitations on rapes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to stop child marriage. And that was since I've been here.
Yeah,
I've been the president of Pasco County now for a while, since Doris Rosen left. And I also have been the state treasurer. And, you know, it's just doing the work. Those are the administrative things that you need to do in order to get the movement to keep working and going.
Now, let me ask you kind of a final question here. Given your experience and NOW, given your experience with Democrats and so forth, how should we, as Pasco Democrats, prepare for the 2022 election?
Okay, we need more precinct leaders. We need to outreach in the community. We need to advertise. And I think we need to do a 4C plan. What we're all about, we're about community, we're about compassion, we're about competence, and we're about capitalism.
Okay.
But capitalism is business competing for workers.
Right.
Not just supply and, you know, it is supply and demand, and the workers are in short supply now. So you've got to allow that type of capitalism to happen too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're for supply and demand, you can't just shovel it under the rug there. It's got to happen.
Right. Any other things we should try to do? I think that's good what you've mentioned so far. Anything else that we ought to do as Democrats?
We're going to be concentrating on state cabinet positions and the governor race. It's very difficult for Democrats to get elected in our county because the Republican voters are asleep at the wheel. They don't recognize competence. They don't recognize anything except that little R on the ballot. In order to break through of that, it's very difficult. We need to grow our Democratic base, and that is happening with the demographics of Pasco are changing.
Right.
Just a little bit at a time. So we get more college-educated people. We get more people moving from states where they were blue states.
Mm-hmm.
Those things will help us. And, we need to improve our non-party voters. We've got a lot of Republican-leaning non-party voters. And I think that's because of all the messages that they get about Republicans doing this and that, and because there's no Democrats in charge. Anytime there's a vote that's 5-0 on the county commission, that's really suspect.
Right. Okay.
Because nobody's challenging what they're doing.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time this morning, Elaine. We may get back to you as we get closer to 2022 election. But in the meantime, I'm hoping things continue on good for you and you get more things published. And now continues on. And we as Democrats are very happy that you're part of us, too. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.